got kids and you both went through puberty.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We present to thee our boners three. We hope that they bring you glee. It's a geeky boners episode. You're surprised to hear we're excited about Disney World running and video games, I'm sure.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my hosts... co-hosts Molly Glover,
Bang,
and Tim Wick,
Bang,
and we're sound like the Martians from.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
We are in the Deepwood Mott Studios, so you might hear a dog and some cats recording another geeky boners episode. Hence the boings. We're gonna talk about all the things that we got in our lives right now that got us turgid and got us excited about some geeky stuff going on. Tim, why don't you start us off?
Am I first?
What's your boner?
My boner right now, as many of our listeners know, I go to Disney World on a semi-frequent basis.
Semi-frequent might be underselling it.
It's true, but I'm very excited because they have been announcing all sorts of stuff that they've got coming up in the Disney World parks, and it's got me super, super jazzed.
You're a Disney nerd, but do you ever go to Disneyland?
Yes. I've been to Disneyland a couple of times. I would go more, but because we've got the Disney Vacation Club thing,
yeah,
it's easy to stay in Florida. We go down to Florida a lot.
Yeah.
So that just ends up being the place where we go a lot more often.
It's easier to travel to Florida, cheaper to travel to Florida.
It is, yeah, from here, yeah.
We were at Disney World a couple of years ago. We spent like 4 days there. Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I like Disneyland. But I do find one thing that bothers me about Disneyland, which is what bothers me about a lot of places in general that are crowded, is people. And the paths at Disneyland are far narrower than the paths at Disney World.
Sure.
And so I'm a lot closer to people than I like to be.
Are there resort hotels at
there
Disneyland?
There are, but not as many.
Yeah.
There are some...
The whole park is smaller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can fit Disneyland and California Adventure into the Magic Kingdom.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
But what's interesting is there are more rides.
That's weird.
So
I suppose there would have to be if it's smaller.
So it's denser. It's denser overall.
It's denser. There are more rides in a smaller area.
Which is ironic because California is bigger.
But remember, the thing that happened is they built Disneyland and they didn't anticipate how popular it would be. And then people just bought up land all around it because they immediately were like, shit, this land's worth a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
So Disneyland had nowhere to go, which is why... when they bought Disney World, they did it in secret so
Swamp
they could
trash.
Buy a whole fucking county
before
anybody figured out that it was Disney buying the county.
So I know there's a ton of big changes coming to Epcot.
Yeah.
Specifically, what are some of the things that you're most excited about?
I'm super excited about the fact they're going to do a Mary Poppins ride in England. Just because it's like... fucking duh, you do
that
a Mary Poppins
cool.
ride in England.
Plus there's no ride in England
do
right
you,
now.
No, there isn't.
Do you ride an umbrella?
I don't know. They just announced it. I mean, I hope so. You should.
There could be penguins or chimneys. Who knows?
there should be both.
Yeah.
Maybe
bottomless
not in the same
bags.
Scene. You should go through like a carpet bag.
I wonder if it'll be based on the new one or the old one.
Probably
both. The old one.
Yeah?
Probably the old
I
one.
I bet both.
Yeah, it could be both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Chalk drawings.
But they're basically the entire area around Spaceship Earth is going to change. They're doing like a two-year retool of Spaceship Earth.
Does this mean, when will Spaceship Earth be closed? This is very important because we're going in February, and I love Spaceship
before
Earth.
It's going to
close before No! Spaceship Earth!
It might be closed by the time we go in January.
Nick doesn't like it, and I'm sad.
I like it just fine. It's the lazy river of
You're not wrong.
Of Disney rides.
But it's what they thought communications would be in the 80s. It's so funny.
And it's sponsored by some car company AT&T. Or Pfizer or whatever the fuck.
Siemens.
That's right. Siemens. Because we kept laughing so hard.
We took so many pictures in front of signs that said Siemens.
But they're going to redo the exit to that ride. Okay. They're like, what they say is they're building like an observation platform where you can go up high enough to be able to look from there out over World Showcase.
That's cool.
They're redoing the two interventions, which I think are boring as fuck, and they're apparently going to do a whole bunch of stuff.
Is that
in
the
there.
Figment one?
No, that's the Journey into Imagination. Those are the two things that are like on either side of Spaceship Earth before you get over to the big ride either side.
What's the build your own car thing we did where we decided to build the car that would be the worst possible car?
Oh, that's Test Track. We did
the like worst for the environment car.
We made a car that basically should never be made.
It didn't blow out. It exhausted. Shit's exhaust.
It had like
the fucking Canyon Arrow from Simpsons.
The wind resistance on it was just like a wall.
What? I heard they're getting a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
They're going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster.
The Milano.
Oh.
It is the longest indoor roller coaster in the world, you know, for like 6 months.
Sure. Summer.
Right.
Builds a longer one. Cool. But it is the first roller coaster with a... what they say is a reverse accelerator.
Oh.
So it's like an accelerator like they have in Rock and Roller Coaster, but you'll be going backwards.
I haven't ridden that.
That sounds exciting.
That sounds similar to the Yeti Avalanche one in Everest?
Yeah. Everest.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like that?
There is a backwards part in Everest, but there's no accelerator.
Oh, that's
it's
gravity.
It's not like shooting you backwards.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what all is going into that one. There's probably some backward shit and some forward shit, and it's going to be fucking wild, and I look forward to it.
It's space. You're in the roller coaster is the Milano, their ship.
Yeah. There's a pavilion that has been closed for a long time. They've been using it for special events. They are renovating that into what they're calling the Play Pavilion, which is all video game stuff.
Oh,
that's where like the art festival and stuff is,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm kind of down for that. That sounds pretty cool. They're redoing the fountains. They're redoing the nighttime fireworks deal.
Ooh.
They've already closed Illuminations, which was kind of my favorite.
Yeah, we saw that. We saw that one with dessert, I think.
That was the big volcano.
Mickey.
It's the one in Hollywood. Yeah.
Oh, that's Fantasmic, which doesn't have a lot of fireworks. But they're redoing a whole bunch
crazy.
Of shit. It's like they say their biggest redesign of a park.
Exciting.
When's it gonna be done? 2024?
It's like 5 years. It's a 5-year plan.
So 2024, 2025.
And at the same time they're also building a Ratatouille ride in France.
That's cute.
Sounds fun.
You have to put a rat in your pants.
Yeah.
Drags you around by your shoes.
Je suis le rat was the penis.
They're building a Tron coaster in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, Galaxy's
in Magic
Edge,
Kingdom
in
Tomorrowland.
In Tomorrowland.
Okay.
So right now the Tomorrowland Speedway, which is the pretty much third dumbest ride in all of Disney World. Is closed because the entrance to the Tron coaster is going to go over the Tomorrowland Speedway.
Okay.
So the Tron coaster and the railroad is closed as well. So it's like think of where Space Mountain is.
Mm-hmm.
The Tron coaster is going to be a little bit to the what would be the left of that and a little bit behind it.
So now I need to know, what are the first and second dumbest rides at Disney World?
I was hedging my best. The dumbest ride at Disney World is the Carousel of Progress.
It is
super dumb.
Yeah.
And yet people love it for reasons that I don't even understand.
I don't think I've even been on it.
And the second dumbest ride is probably the Triceratop Twirl at Animal Kingdom, because it's basically just the Dumbo ride with Triceratops.
We didn't even do rides. Not really. I would argue that the ride that was awesome and is now garbage is the Stitch Escape. ride.
Oh, yeah, that's garbage.
It was so good. It was so scary.
It was extraterrestrial.
God, that was good. I was so excited. We were both so excited to go back. And then it was Stitch. I was like, maybe it'll still be good.
No. Stitch's Great Escape is actually, it's closed unless the park is super busy and they need someplace to put more people.
That is interesting.
Nobody knows. They're making a room for a lot more Marvel stuff.
They can only do so much.
Right.
Because
Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios got the right for the Marvel stuff. And when they got the rights for it, because before Marvel got bought by Disney, they basically got the rights for permanent.
Disney
can't buy them back.
But they can do it in Disneyland.
They can do it in Disneyland, yes.
We went in February 2018, so just about 2 years ago. We were really surprised at how little Marvel merchandise there was even.
Right,
which it felt like, I mean, we were glad there was lots of Black Panther stuff, which was like good, but it was still pretty surprising, you know, considering that merch is really easy to just put everywhere.
Oh, I know, and they can't.
Anything that Hollywood Studios has, they can't use, but all the other stuff they can.
So, like, Hollywood Studios never got Guardians of the Galaxy, so they can Guardians of the Galaxy the shit out of it. But, like, all the major Avengers, you know, Captain America,
you
can
have so
Iron
many
Man.
Characters. Like, there's so much.
They can't.
Hollywood Studios, why don't they do it?
They can't.
Really?
All of Disney in Florida. Universal Studios has the rights to the Marvel characters.
Oh, you said Hollywood Studios before.
Yeah, I got confused.
Sorry, Universal Studios.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a super big boner.
That's exciting. That's a huge boner.
What's your boner, Molly?
Okay, so my boner is I got diagnosed with arthritis in my knees in like 2015, and I've been like slowly working my way back toward running. And just a couple days ago, I ran the Twin Cities 10 Mile.
Yay!
Thank you. For the first time since before we started working at RunFest. That was the last time I'd run it.
It's like eight years.
Yeah, I ran it like 8 or 9 years
ago. 9 years, yeah.
And so I ran it again, and it was awesome. I was hoping that I would, like, I figured I would be able to run around 9 minutes per mile. My training times for 10 miles had been around 9 minutes a mile. Granted, I hadn't really been pushing it crazy hard because I didn't want to get hurt before a race.
Right.
But the fastest I'd ever run 9 miles lately had been 8:45 per mile, and I finished this race in 8:32 average per mile, which
was crazy,
super fast compared to what I was expecting. It was really great, and so that in conjunction with we went and saw the movie Brittany Runs a Marathon, which is very good.
Yeah,
and okay. I think I really recommend it. It's very good. And that movie, I mean, it made me cry. Legitimately, not a lot of movies make me cry. I think Nick can confirm, quite literally, tears streaming down my face. Could not control it. Happy tears. I didn't realize
that movie was out.
Yeah. So. I cried during this race,
Small
by the
release.
Way. Around about mile four, cresting a hill and people cheering, and I had good music, and I cried. I cry when I run. It was very exciting. It was a good thing.
You'll never see those people again.
It was happy tears.
And now you think you might...
I'm going to train for the marathon for next year.
Are you?
Yeah. So I've run marathons 3 times before. I ran the Twin Cities in 2004 and 2005. And then I ran technically the first new Vegas marathon in 2005 in December when they redid the Vegas marathon.
Okay.
And they changed how it would start. I ran that. And those are the 3 marathons I've done. And I've already gotten my sub 4 hours and I'm happy with that. But... it's worth noting, and maybe this is weird, but, you know, Molly McBride ran those marathons. It wasn't just before I got married. It feels like I was a different person.
I was
a lot crazier. I was in the depths of my eating disorder for all 3 marathons. I was doing hard drugs. I was very much, I want to prove to myself that not only can I do it in my 40s, but I can do it when I'm not crazy and like not needing to harness the willpower of an eating disorder or you know, drugs to allow me to do the dedication and the training that it takes
to
get through it.
You can do all the training this time.
I want to do all the training this time. I have historically not been very good to my body. I know that will sound weird considering I had an eating disorder, I'm sure you're thinking, but I thought people with anorexia really took care of their bodies. I'm here to tell you, listeners, that's not true.
No.
And
you would know.
I would know. I think maybe if I run a marathon on more than 900 calories a day, then maybe that might be a good thing.
Good plan.
And I think if I actually train and run more than like 15 miles at a time beforehand, that would be good. I think if I don't just stop doing drugs 3 nights before, that might help. I smoked when I ran my last 3 marathons. I was a cigarette smoker, a pack-a-day smoker. I think that might help. I just generally want to prove that it wasn't some weird fluke of my crazy 20s that I managed to do it, and that I can do it to myself, and I can do it for myself. And I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So, all I want to do is finish. That's my whole plan. And I'm at 10 miles now. And I figure if I add even just a mile a month, you know, by this time next year, that's 22 miles. That's enough to finish. Like, right. That is. I would like to be a little further along. Winter is now, basically, in Minnesota. We're about to be in winter. So I can, you know, I can keep it around, you know, like 14, 15 during the winter and then increase it in the spring and summer. And Nick's on board, which is exciting because if you don't know, you actually really need the support of your life partner.
Yeah.
If you have one, to be willing to let you do that because it's...
At some points, it kind of becomes like a part-time job.
Yeah, toward the end of the training, especially the last like 8 weeks, you know, it's really like something you got to really do. And I just really want to do it. I want to do it one more time at least. I want to be able to like cross that line and know that I will feel like I know I did it. And if I can't, if something happens and my knees go out and I can't do it. I have arthritis in both my knees. I've been running competitively for 31 years at this point. That's a long time to be putting that much stress on your joints. If I can't, I can't.
Yeah,
you know, right. I will accept my limitations and that will be okay. But I think I can.
If you can't, do a half.
I know I can do a half.
I know, but
I feel pretty good about being able to do this. I really do. So I haven't really talked about it much. I don't want to like, I'm not going to talk about it a ton on Facebook until I get closer to the time, but...
You're just going
to
tell everybody listening to our podcast.
Yeah, it's just, you know, who listens to our podcast? You know, so, like 1,000 people who, you know, are...
Many of them aren't even in America.
They're going to forget. They're going to forget. It's going
to
be...
Fun. Anyone that's listening to the podcast gets all the context. If
exactly.
You're posting about it on Facebook, there's not all this context for, you know, that goes along with saying you're going to run a marathon.
Exactly.
It's different.
And I just, you know, running is... I've often said running is my happy place. It's like the only time... It's not the only time. It's one of the few times that I truly feel like myself distilled. I don't know how else to put it. Like I'm not doing it for anyone else. It's not for, I don't really care what I look like. I feel like it was what I was, if I believed in a maker, I would say it's what my body was made to do. Like it's what, I just feel like it's what I was built to do in
the
terms
lungs.
Of how my body came out. I've got big lungs, I've got long legs, I've got weird, crazy endurance. I just really enjoy it, and I think that it's gonna be great. So
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it, and it's just gonna be something that's kind of, it's a year away, so it's gonna be in the back of my mind, and I want to seize, you know, we promised each other that when we quit RenFest, we wouldn't just like spend our summers and falls dicking around, right? It wouldn't just be like, we're gonna just not do anything. And it's like, oh, we just don't do anything anymore. And I could never run this race because I did RunFest. And I could never train for a marathon because I did RunFest, you know, because it's so much on your body. And so I love the Twin Cities Marathon specifically. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful course. It's a punishing course. There's a huge mile at hill at mile 24. Like it's a heartbreaker. I mean, it ends a lot of races. Yeah. It ends a lot of races. But like... There's people the whole way with signs and in costumes, and there's kids and people are handing out gummy bears and orange slices and everyone's cheering for you. And everyone's like, it just, the other runners, I don't know. It's the closest I've ever come to a spiritual experience, and I want to have it again. So that's my boner.
Yeah.
I'm rock hard for running races that no person was ever meant to run and that it's named after a person who died doing the original one.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
I've seen it lots.
Yeah.
But just for the listeners and for Tim, could you please describe your boner?
So, I think the last Geeky Boners episode, or maybe the one before, I talked a little bit about my anticipation for this boner, but now that it's here and in my hands
and I've throbbing.
Been, and I've been playing around with it.
He's been playing with it for hours every night.
I bet he has.
I would say I'm a boner widow.
Yeah. I've been going crazy. But yeah, I've been playing Borderlands 3. It came out like 2 weeks ago.
I think it's been more like three.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I'm having a really good time. I'm still having a really good time. I've beaten the game, and now I'm in, like, what is the end game, which is, like, that's where the real game is once you've beaten it, then you get all the end game activities.
Completionist.
And all the hard mode stuff, where all the good loot is, right? So, I'm to a point where I can pick up Borderlands, go find a boss that I've beaten, like, the end boss, and kill them for loot, and then like, okay, cool, back to work, and like, I can play for like 15 or 20 minutes and accomplish something and have fun, or I can sit down and play for like 4 hours with friends and accomplish something and have a lot of fun.
Plus that Twitch thing you were telling me about yesterday.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, they have this plugin for Twitch streamers. Where it's called EchoCast. Echo is like your PDA communicator, your map and inventory system, your health tracker, all that stuff in the game.
It's your Pip-Boy.
It's your Pip-Boy. It's called the Echo.
That's from Fallout. And
Echo EchoCasts are like podcasts or some, you know, streaming media on your Echo, right? So there's this EchoCast plugin for Twitch streamers where anytime they open a red chest. Red chests are rare. They have good loot. They have good odds for legendary weapons. Anytime they pop a red chest, everyone that's watching their Twitch stream with the plugin gets a chance to get one of the things in the chest that the Twitch streamer opened. And your odds are, I've won like 5 things in a row. I've lost like 30 things in a row, right? I have no idea what the odds are. They're all over the place. But you get a chance at getting some of the loot they open in their Twitch stream. So you have this incentive. So I'll be like working and like configuring routers and stuff, and I'll have a Twitch stream up in my other monitor, just like in the background. And every once in a while, someone will go, oh, red chest. And I'll be like, oh, change windows. Huh. Go back and like join the event. And pick the loot and roll the dice and see if you win or not. And
there was that guy.
There's this group of gamers that there's 3 to 4 of them that all are playing together multiplayer that are each streaming at the same time, so you can open all 4 Twitch streamers in different tabs of your browser and have the plugin working in each.
That's crazy.
And mute 3 of the tabs and just listen for that ding when the chest opens or for them saying there's a red chest on one stream. Switch over, join, change tabs, join, change tabs, join, change tabs, join, change tabs,
so there's
and like get 4 chances at winning loot. It's not the same loot. Each player gets their own pool to draw from, but you get 4 chances every time these guys are popping chests, and they're like, all we're going to do is beat this boss for the next 4 hours. We're going to reload our game over and over and over and beat this boss and pop this chest, because some bosses have specific loot pools where you want specific desirable grenade mods or weapons or whatever, and so they hunt that stuff, and you can pay attention to the stream and do that. I'm playing with the group of guys that I played Destiny and Division with that are mostly people from me and Molly's D&D group. There's some glitches and some problems with the game, but like, despite that, I haven't hit any of the really bad ones.
There's some good voice acting too. Like,
Ashley Birch is one of my favorite voice actors for video games, and she's reprising her role as Tiny Tina.
What's his name from the Nerdist?
He's
in there.
They brought back Chris Hardwick's character,
I
hate the character, and I'm not a Chris Hardwick fan these days.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, one of the voice actors they didn't bring back because he is a union actor now, and they refused to hire him because they wouldn't meet those demands, and so they hired someone else.
Meet those demands, aka pay what's fair.
Yeah. Yep.
yeah. Well. Yeah.
But So there's this thing that they've added for Borderlands 3. There's two new things that are real fun mechanisms for this endgame play. And the first is Guardian levels. So you top out at level 50. When you hit level 2, you get to pick your special ability, your action, which you can swap between a few different actions now. And then there's three skill trees that you can put. Each time you gain a level after that, you can put a point in one of these different skills to change. You know, when you kill a guy, you get bonuses to this, or you reload faster, or you move faster, that's or whatever. Cool. You get grenades every so many times you kill someone, or you get a patch or something. But you only get those points up to level 50. Once you've beaten the game, instead of leveling up, you gain Guardian ranks. And every time you go to spend a Guardian rank point, you get to put it in. There's three tiers of categories that each have a random thing that they'll give you a bonus to. So you're not guaranteed to be like, I'm gonna jack up my luck so I get better loot. It might be like reload speed and weapon damage or vehicle damage or whatever. But you can spend these points to level up these percentage perks to your character as you go. And as you hit certain tiers, like 25 points in this one or 50 points in that one, you start to unlock other abilities and stuff. So there's leveling beyond the level cap, which is very fun. The other thing that they've added, like the ultimate, the true Vault Hunter mode is back, which is like New Game Plus, where you replay the game, but it's from the very beginning, everyone's at level 50 or higher and super hard. But there's also Mayhem mode. And Mayhem mode is, they took a hint from the other really popular loot shooter, Destiny, where there's random mods on your game for increased difficulty to make things more interesting and to keep you from using the same guns over and over and over. And Mayhem is 1 through 3. You set it in your ship before you go out to places, and up to Mayhem 3 is like more modifiers and more changes, more bonuses. So you might go, okay, we're going to go kill this boss. And you land and you check your Mayhem modifiers. And it's like all bullets minus 50% damage. Enemies fire 2 extra bullets with each shot.
Oh, crazy.
Shield regeneration minus 50%.
Oh, weird. Like, and so it's just a dice roll.
They add all these conditions to make things way harder, but they also make your loot like 500% more valuable.
That's really cool.
They give way more experience, more gold, more iridium, the other money currency in the game. And so
gems versus coins.
Yeah. And so if you hate it, you can like quit the game and reload and whatever get different modifiers, but like, you know, it's fun to land somewhere and be like, "Oh shit. Assault rifles and sniper rifles are minus 50%, but pistols and SMGs and shotguns are plus 50%. Normal bullets are minus 70%, but elemental damage is plus 70%.
Weird.
So
yeah.
I have this elemental pistol that I never use that would be perfect for this. And it makes you use weapons and tactics and
that's
grenades
cool.
and stuff that you might not ever otherwise use, and it keeps the game real fresh and interesting.
That sounds
and
really cool.
Challenging. I'm having a blast with it. The first DLC is free and it comes out next week. It's like a Halloween themed
thing. So it, as of Friday, it will have been 4 weeks.
Okay.
So they're really churning that out. That's really nice.
And unfortunately, all of the patching they've been putting out so far has mostly been nerfing character skills.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the character that they're targeting the most is my main, which is Flak. Flak is the,
non-binary
AI, which is somewhat ironic,
uses
I realize.
Uses they-them pronouns.
Yep. The entire game uses they-them pronouns for Flak.
Including all the NPCs and stuff, is what you were saying.
Yep. All the side chatter, all the NPC dialogue, everything, all the menus.
So you're never misgendered.
All the verbiage, the game never
super
misgenders
cool.
Flak.
That's really cool.
I have a monkey with a gun. Like, it's a jabber. It's an alien monkey. But I have a monkey with a gun sidekick that can, like, bring me back up off the ground if I die. So if you're playing alone, you have, like, a safety net.
That's cool.
And I have a weapon mod that if I kill something, I can bring my monkey up from dead. So we're, like, a team, even though I'm playing alone.
Symbiosis.
And the special I'm using is you turn invisible, and while you're invisible for 6 seconds, all your attacks are critical. So it's like, flip to invisible, switch to your SMG, walk up to something, empty a clip at its face at, like, full crit damage.
Yeah.
And you used to be able to take these sticky grenade guns that stick grenades to things that don't explode until you reload, walk up to something, turn invisible, stick grenades to them over and over and over and over until you stop being invisible, and then you'd pop them. And because you would pop them after your skill had expired, all these critical hits would pop up on them after your invisibility had done. But there's this other skill that crits recharge your special ability.
Ah.
So you'd be able to use your special, cover something in grenades, become uninvisible, pop your grenades, recharge your super, turn invisible,
yeah,
and you used to be able to just shred through things that way. And they completely removed that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, the thing is that, like, it's super useful for bosses, but it is not useful for, like, running into really powerful regular enemies when you're getting shot by, like, 20 things. You're kind of a glass cannon. So I'm playing as the Siren Amara, the other character. I use her for when I'm playing with my friends, and
that's
she's a low level, but I have loot waiting for her that I've got on my other character.
Nice.
So, yeah,
it's that a sounds blast. Super fun.
It's a real blast.
Yeah,
that is a big ass boner,
right?
It's a solid boner.
All the boners are very meaningful and large today.
Yeah. Super big boner.
Good crop.
Yeah, good crop of boners.
Good crop of boners.
Big boners.
Right. Give me my boner sickle.
Molly.
Yes.
I heard that we have new five questions from...
Three questions.
We're changing shit up. We have new five questions from a longtime listener and friend of the show.
Timmy Iverson.
Hey.
Hi, Timmy.
We have five questions from Timmy.
What's Timmy got for us?
Question one. If you could remove one disease from the world, what would it be and why? I'm going to say... Okay, so I feel like... I feel like cancer is too easy because there's so many kinds. So I will specifically say HPV.
Okay.
And how it causes cervical cancer, and also the fact that it's very communicable. And since 1 in 4 people have it, I think it'd be nice to just remove HPV from the world and all of its associated woes. And maybe that's short-sighted, but I think that you know, I don't know. I'm going with that one instead of, like, you know, HIV or something.
We've almost got that.
I feel like HPV, we have a vaccine for it, but, I mean, it's not always working, and...
HIV, we have controlled here. We don't really, it's totally out of control in Africa.
That is true.
But I'm still going to go with the really kind of obvious choice and go with malaria.
Yeah.
Malaria would also be good.
Because that's responsible for, I believe, still more deaths worldwide than any other disease.
I'm real torn between influenza, because it mutates so quickly that, like, it's always perpetually going to be a problem.
If you could get rid of it just completely.
If you could just get rid of it, that would be great. But I'm going to go with MRSA. Because growing antibiotic resistance in bacterial infections is going to be a really big problem that we're going to have to deal with soon. We can't just keep creating better stronger antibiotics. We're going to keep breeding stronger bacteria. So, and that kills people in the hospital, like people that are already vulnerable, that are already seeking treatment. So I'll say MRSA.
Question two. What is one skill or talent you wish you had? I have always wished that I could draw.
Mm-hmm.
I can't draw. I can doodle okay. Sure. Like, I can doodle okay. I can't draw. I can't draw with perspective. I am terrible at anatomy. If you want to see something funny, ask me to draw a car. I can't do it, and I've always wished I could.
I wish I could play an instrument.
Yeah.
So does your band.
What kind
of instrument, if you could pick?
I would probably want to play either a guitar or a mandolin, something.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the kind of band. I mean, probably a mandolin, just because nobody else in the band plays that. I mean, I'm this is going to sound like an oxymoron. I'm a really good Boron player. But we don't always need a really good Boron player.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair.
So I would like to be able to play
Nature. It kind of does one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's yes, that's the thing about a Boron. Like, yeah.
I, in line with Tim's, I wish I could sing. I wish I was a good singer. I wish I had singing ability and with that rhythm. I'm not a great singer. It's not something I'm super comfortable doing even, but I wish I had that talent or that skill.
You have rhythm. I've heard you rap. Like...
Sometimes.
You,
it's real inconsistent. Real inconsistent.
You wish you had, like, reliable rhythm.
Yeah. I wish I had... I would honestly settle for any musical talent.
I would argue you can learn to sing. You have enough... You can carry a tune. You just need practice.
We're talking about snap your fingers and get a talent. I'm picking singing.
Fair enough.
Because I feel like that would... I could... I already do comedy. I could then do comedy singing.
Yeah.
I already do other stuff. I could do singing with that thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's with my drawing. I wish I could draw comics. Right. Like I can come up with funny ideas, but I can't draw. Yeah.
Totally.
Right.
Question 3. What is your favorite food to grill outdoors? Or, if you're not a grill master, what do you love to eat at a summer picnic? My favorite is corn on the cob. I like grilling corn on the cob in the husk. I have a tried and true method that it makes it delicious and perfect, and it comes out like it is so good. But I love grilling all foods. Like as long as you like food on the grill the way I do, which is charred and delicious. I like charred vegetables. I like things that have a grilled taste.
What's the point if you're not gonna burn? Yeah. You know, get a little burn on it. That's the. I think the like quintessential grilled food. Is also my favorite, and that's burgers. I think like a burger, like you could grill a burger and grill it well done and like kind of burn the fuck out of it and get it crispy, and I'd still be happy with a grilled burger. You could grill it rare with just a little char on the outside, and I'd be happy with that burger. Like, burgers are fucking the best grilled thing.
Yeah. I was going to say burger, too.
You could still say burger.
But I will say I'm a big fan of Polish sausages.
Yeah.
And I think a Polish sausage off the grill is something special.
All those little lines, I was just thinking, I should have said hot dogs or sausages because the lines you get are just so iconically lovely.
We haven't grilled like a kielbasa or anything on our grill.
It's hard to find beef kielbasa, honey. Mm. Most sausages are made of pork.
I know.
There's that.
Yeah. All right, question 4.
There is turkey kielbasa, which is quite good.
That's true. We can do that. What one vice do you have? It can be gaming, food, sex, or anything that you cannot resist.
Oh, I have a complicated relationship with food. If there's chips, I will just eat them.
Yep.
Not some of them. I'll just eat them.
Yep.
I'm not super great with portions or with mindful eating. It's something I really have to spend a lot of effort and work on.
I think sweets are something that it's like, and as a diabetic, I can't have very much of it. So it's like, I have this constant battle of, I want all of them.
Yeah.
And I have to have pretty close to none of them.
Yeah.
You have a lot of sweets in your house too. Like you always have candy in your house.
Like not for you, but for the others in your house.
Right. Yeah. So it's always a temptation. It's always there.
It's with diabetes, it's all about control. It's like if you...
With type 2 diabetes, especially,
with type 1, it's actually a little easier and a little harder. If you're watching your blood sugar and your blood sugar is doing okay and you're like, all right, I can have a candy bar, that's fine. But you also need to be able to go, I can't have one. So that's tough. And it is a tough vice for me.
So, like, the thing that I love, I would say, is my vice is alcohol. 100%. I drink every day.
You don't get drunk every day.
I don't get drunk every day, but I do drink every day.
Get drunk once a week.
No, I don't get drunk hardly. I only get drunk at Convergence and maybe occasionally at OmegaCon. I like the taste of alcohol. I like it very much. But if we're talking about like a vice that like I can't resist where I lose control, gambling. Gamble anymore. I lost a lot of money because we live very close to Mystic Lake. And when I was unemployed, I used to go to Mystic Lake and lose hundreds of dollars on penny slots.
Wow.
Yep. I cannot stop. I am.
So you just
I am,
don't.
I just don't go because I if I go and I'm like, I'm gonna bring fit my family used to love to go to the casino. My mom loves the casino, and she has a weird relationship with machines where like hotel door locks break and elevators break and slot machines just give my mom money. It is a.
How many times has your mom had to file taxes for gambling winnings?
I would say more than 10 years has my mom had to file a tax return for gambling.
All she does is slots.
Yeah, and that's all. Yeah, just slots. But when I'm up, I can't quit. I especially love slot machines that have mini games where you every now and then get to play the mini game. And I will just give it money until it lets it, like, I will lose all my money. So I don't go to casinos anymore. That's the one thing I can't resist. Alcohol I can resist. If I need to not drink for a medical test or because I've got a race or something like that, I'm not like, oh, God, it's really hard to not drink. That's not hard. But in terms of, like, my daily vice, that's alcohol.
Yeah.
All right.
Question 5. What is one thing you know you should take care of, but you never get around to it?
The basement.
Yes! I'm so glad you said the basement and not something else so I didn't have to correct you about how it's the basement.
The basement is basically divided up into thirds, where a third of it is like our costume and prop storage.
Which I cleaned last year.
And sewing space.
Yep.
And then a third of it is like the furnace and my weightlifting equipment and stuff.
Which is kept very clean for weightlifting.
I keep it very well organized. And then a third of the basement is the workshop. The workshop area. Which is not tidy or not clean.
Like a war of like stuff and wood is happening.
It looks like a carpenter got into a fight with a costumer and everyone lost. But it's better. I did like a bunch of work down there. I threw away so much shit.
For a long time, Nick made us keep every box that anything we ever bought came in.
If we bought an electronic that was $200 or more, I kept the box.
For like 10 years.
It was a habit of my father's.
Huh. So, because in case we needed the box.
Warranties and reselling things.
Yeah. And so we finally got rid of all the boxes. That was a big deal.
Almost all
the
boxes.
But now like there's just like a whole area where it's like, don't go over there. So, don't look over there.
I have some good incentive and things are infrastructural improvements. I built a workshop, a workbench with some shelving but right when I was almost done with that was when the fucking urethra shit happened with me and all of a sudden I couldn't go finish that project.
Yep.
Once I get things in a good state and get that put in, that'll be better. Once I throw away the shitty broken ping pong table top that is the big table, my dad has a metal built-in table saw workbench that he is going to give me to put down there.
It's like 8 hours of work. Really, it all is. Together.
Yep.
But it's just one of those things that you just can't start because it's just really hard.
And honestly, sometimes it's like, I don't want to go down there and work on that because recycling just happened and it's not going to pick up for 2 weeks. I don't want to have like six cubic feet of boxes and recycling shit to just put in the garage for 2 weeks. I'll put it off for a week or two and then, you know, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
There are a whole lot of answers I could give to this question. The one I will give right now is we have wooden stairs at the front and back of our house, and they are all in desperate need of replacement and treating. And either I need to do that myself or find somebody to do it for me, but we've got to get it done.
Yeah.
It's really getting bad.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the one thing.
Yeah.
Of many. That I will say.
Hire someone to do concrete and just be done with it forever.
Something's got to be done.
For your lifetime.
It's just something's got to be done.
It's hard because we know this isn't our permanent house. Like, we were supposed to live here temporarily, like, for a few years, 11 years ago. And then just, you know, life got in the way. And so eventually this is going to be my brother's house. We don't want to live in Eden Prairie forever. So the plan is to move. So I feel like one of those things is moving. Like,
sure.
We know it, but like at the same time, we were going to move and then Nick went back to school. And then that was 2 years. And then when Nick got out of school, the housing market was insane.
Yeah.
And that's been 2 years, 3 years almost now. And so now the housing market is finally starting to calm down. So we're going to start thinking about actually moving when it's, you know, reasonable. But I think that the thing that I, because this isn't our permanent house, the thing that I, we have needed to do for a long time that I just can't get around to is replacing the screens. Like, we need to replace the screens. Almost every screen in this house has a hole. In fact, the screens are so, like, thin and precarious that there was a wasp inside the house, like between the screen and the window, and the window was closed. So I went outside and I killed it with wasp poison, you know, but it was like still kind of kicking around. And I was like, So I went with a paper towel to smash it through the screen and tore a hole in the screen just by like touching it. Like, it wasn't even like I pressed. It was more like as I touched the screen, it went, wah. They're just paper. So that's the thing, like, there's a lot of other stuff that we need to do, but we're not going to paint the walls, we're not going to replace the carpet. Right. That's all stuff that, you know, that'll happen when
Those are all Riley problems.
Those are Riley problems. But the screens, the screens are literally a problem we deal with. And there's a lot of wasps around here, and I'm allergic to wasps pretty badly.
Right.
All
right.
So, like, there's reasons to replace them, we just haven't. So, yeah. So those are our five questions.
Hey.
Thanks, Timmy.
If you... Timmy. Have five questions you'd like to send us. They can be five questions about literally anything. Mm-hmm. Send them to fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. Sometimes if we have a guest, we'll ask them your five questions if they've already asked us theirs.
And if they haven't thought of new ones.
And they haven't thought of new ones. Yep. So sometimes you get that extra bonus when you send them. Also, if you are a Patreon supporter, we bump your questions up to the top of our list.
There's no patrons in queue right now.
There's no patrons in queue right now. So if you're a Geeks Without God patron and you send us your five questions, you'll be next.
Boom!
Probably.
Yep.
Otherwise, if you want to become a patron, you can throw us a couple bucks and get all these episodes early, weeks early. We're also looking at recording another special patron-exclusive episodes here soon. There's three of those up there so far that you can only hear if you support us, and that's great if you do. If you don't, that's okay, too. You can do us a favor by leaving us a rating on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, whatever your means by which you're listening to this podcast. Go leave us a rating somewhere. That'd be great. Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God. These are our boners. Judge them. We hope you don't find them wanting, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I wonder which Disney character drops the best loot when you kill them.
No, it's Mickey. It's gotta be Mickey.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I thought of it while we were, for whatever reason, while we were recording.